Hey there, and welcome to another episode of Market Bites. I'm Sam.
And I'm Josh.
And we're here to break down three of the hottest financial events that happened this week, so you can keep your finger on the pulse on your way to work, at the gym, wherever and whenever you have time to get updated.
Please remember that this podcast is intended for educational and informational purposes only. Stay tuned for additional disclosures at the end of today's episode.
So, are you ready?
Here we go.
Hello everyone and welcome back to another episode of the Market Bites. Please do remember, like, share, subscribe if you're on YouTube, and if you're on the podcast, give us a good rating. I'm joined by Josh Gilbert today. Josh, how's tricks?
Tricks are very good here, Sam. Tricks are very good. How's things with you?
Yeah, very well, very well. And unfortunately, we're missing you in London at the moment. We've got a group of our analysts together. You're very much missed. But I guess you're probably not missing the fact that it would have been a very long flight to get over here to London.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's a very, very long way to come. So Unfortunately, the time zones don't do us much justice, and neither do the planes these days to get back to London. So 24 hours for a couple of days is quite unfortunate, but we will get that chance again very soon, I'm sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And also, don't even think about the jet lag would be pretty tough, as well. How has the week been? How are markets? What's the word on the street? Are people pretty happy? Obviously, crypto at all-time highs.
I think so, yeah. Risk assets been on fire, haven't they? You've got crypto record highs. We've had plenty of record highs from the S&P 500 this year, the NASDAQ record highs. ASX 200 been at record highs at the end of last week as well. So yeah, that euphoria is really picking up, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Let us know in the chat, everyone, on YouTube. How you feeling? Positive? Do you think it's overdone? You waiting for a pullback? Let us know how sentiment is. We're going to talk about crypto. We'll talk about the NASDAQ. And also at the end of this week, we've got non-farm payroll. So we'll wrap it all together with that. But Josh, let's start off with crypto. We touched all-time highs for Bitcoin very recently yesterday. First time since 2021, around $69,000. Since then, we've had a bit of a pullback. We've got Bitcoin trading in and around 66s, but Ethereum powered towards 3,700. I guess the question from me is, does this rally continue, do you think?
Yeah, I mean, that is the big question, isn't it? Because you're at an all-time high, and, you know, we had that slight pullback, you know, from a technical side, which is, you know, usually your side, Sam, it was almost perfect when we sort of had that pullback. We hit that 69,000 and it was pretty much an instant retracement with, you know, plenty of sales coming in when we sort of got to that level. But the reason we're at this level, I think, to sort of begin with, is we're starting to see that institutional capital flow. You know, we've always said that would be a big catalyst, and it's happening, and it's happening in a big way. So, you know, Bitcoin ETF products have seen huge inflows. Last week, they had 1.77 billion, which was the second largest weekly inflows since the ETF started trading. BlackRock's ETF has hit 11 billion in assets under management since its inception. And what have we been? 3 months, less than 3 months? It's the fastest an ETF has sort of hit over 10 billion in assets under management ever. So record breaking, whichever way you look at it. And we're seeing not only inflows, but huge trading volumes across all of these ETFs as well. But as we say, that instant retracement, that sort of sell, I don't think really you can sort of begrudge anyone for it, because you know, pretty much everyone at that point would have been in profit. So and what was a really tough period for Bitcoin as well, we've got to remember that. We went through a really difficult 2022. You know, start of 2023 was also improving, but again, it was still a long way to get back to those all-time highs. So yeah, really we can see, you know, why there was that sort of selling pressure at the top. Traditional institutions were once sitting out, but we're now starting to see that they are here, they are coming with full force, and they are driving this market, which is why, to sort of come to your question, this feels like the start of something rather than the end. So I think that's really important. You know, we've also got the crypto halving. So we've got the Bitcoin halving, sorry, coming up in, you know, about 4 weeks. So we're going to see supply squeezed even further. at a time when we've got demand that is only increasing. We continue to see the amount of Bitcoin available to buy diminishing away from exchanges. We've got scarcity, which is only going to rise further with the halving as well. And now you've got these institutions coming along and buying Bitcoin by the bucket load. So that is another huge catalyst as well. And I also think that we're seeing retail interest in this, but it's not where it has been in previous cycles. I don't think we've really got that euphoria that we've had from the retail market in the past. And I think that leaves the door open for more sort of buying. So I think that we've tested that all-time high once. If we get a test again soon, that's going to be really important to see if those bulls charge through that level on Bitcoin.
Yeah, and worth, I think, using that level as just a guide for sentiment. Obviously, it's pretty good right now. People are going to be happy with, at one point, you know, the highest we had been in a couple of years, a bit of a pullback. But above that level, things do change. So for those technical analysts out there, maybe it's the daily close, maybe it's a weekly close above that previous all-time high for the market to really push on, as you said. Any other assets on the watch list that people should be watching that you think people got an eye on?
Yeah, well, you mentioned Ethereum sort of at the start there, that it continued to sort of have a good run, and it has done exactly that. Sort of outperformed Bitcoin a little bit this year after an underperformance last year. And it's got some solid catalysts ahead, which is, I think, why we're seeing it continue to sort of move higher. But also, it's not near its all-time high. Its all-time high is above sort of $4,000. So we didn't have that same sort of resistance as we did with sort of Bitcoin. But with ETH, we've got the potential for a spot Ethereum ETF to be approved at some point in the middle of this year, which would be huge for the asset, given what we've already seen from the institution when it comes to Bitcoin. And I think that is why we're starting to see a little bit of a performance catch up this year from Ethereum. We've also got altcoins really coming back into full swing as well. We've got Doge and SHIB and those types of meme coins as well, seeing huge numbers over the last sort of week or so. But I think ETH is that one that is the standout. And I think we will see a bit of a rotation to from investors as well, because we're just a few days away now as well from an upgrade on Ethereum called Denken. We see a lot of upgrades across networks on blockchains, but this has been pretty long awaited. And you know, some of the sort of the experts, you know, there's real tech experts in blockchain. They're really excited about this from what I can see. It's going to make transactions even faster. It's going to make it cheaper, and cheaper is really, really important when it comes to the blockchain, because there's lots of competition there. And it's something that they've, you know, we've seen as a bit of an issue with ETH in the past when the network is congested. Think back to the euphoria of NFTs back in, that was probably sort of 2021. It was costing people, you know, hundreds and hundreds of dollars, or, you know, points worth of ETH to use the network. And, you know, again, that sort of saw people sought after a new network. So ETH is sort of trying to sort of pull that back. And Solana has been one of those networks that users have turned to in that time. But it has had a few failures. We've seen the network go down a couple of times, and that's just has sort of really, you know, put Ethereum as, you know, this king of DeFi. You know, it's never seen a network blackout. It's always been up, but it's just those fees. But, you know, ultimately, if you want a network, sometimes you've got to pay for it. But as I say, a really significant upgrade for Ethereum. And as we see with these types of events, similar to what we saw with that Bitcoin ETF launch, it may not have that instant impact. It may be that sort of slight sell the news. We may see a run up to it and then a bit of a sell off afterwards. But what we've seen now with these Bitcoin ETFs is that it is huge. I think it may be very similar with this upgrade, that we may not see an instant effect, but really this is a huge upgrade and something that we may see the full effect of down the line.
Yeah, yeah. And also it's really interesting, I guess, for traders, investors out there in the crypto world. They'll be looking at, if they've been longer term or medium term holders, their portfolios with a lot of these crypto assets would have helped it get to all-time highs in the crypto part of their portfolio. And it'd be really interesting to know what people are doing. Is it now a case where people say, I'm going to get out? Is it a case where people say, I'm going to take a little bit off the table? Which is potentially what you saw with Bitcoin. It goes back to a very key level, all-time high. Let me take some more sellers than buyers. Price goes down for a little bit, whatever. Or is it a case of most people are going to be sitting here thinking, well, I'm holding for the long term. I have no interest in selling now. So I'd be really interested to just to see how people are feeling sentiment wise, is it a case of I'm holding for the long term? So what happens today, tomorrow, next week? Doesn't really bother me. Be really interested to know. Alongside crypto assets, we mentioned this at the beginning, we've also seen tech stocks fly, alongside other markets too. But that said, we've also had a recent pullback yesterday, for example, so Tuesday the 5th. What are your thoughts on it all at the moment?
I think it's warranted, isn't it, really? And I don't think anyone can sort of sit here and say, oh no, we've come away from record highs. How disappointing. I think anyone that maybe is very, very close with financial markets may have sort of maybe been expecting this to happen. It was more of a case of when we were going to see it. But we have seen sort of the NASDAQ and the S&P 500 kind of retreat from those highs. NASDAQ's been about down about 2% since the start of the week. So nothing huge, nothing to sort of write home about, but, you know, a bit of a pullback from where we were. But I think the important part is that we're going to see this as this breather as healthy and likely due, like I say. But we're not seeing these sort of fundamentals ultimately change. We think they're going to continue to sort of drive this market because we've got, you know, what is an improving earnings cycle. We saw that in Q4. And obviously, you know, we're going to be talking about sort of the Fed cutting rates, and we're still sort of looking to that. But the word that I've seen thrown around quite a lot is frothy. The word frothy is a word that I've quite liked. I've stuck to that one. And that has been what the market has looked like. It has looked a bit frothy. It's looked a bit toppy, right? We've got a little bit up there. Risk assets were on fire. Bitcoin touching those record highs. It felt like everything was at record highs. So for the market just to go, right, let's just have a pause here. It, you know, it's not too bad. You know, Apple, big drag on markets. They obviously had those China woes. If you didn't see it, you know, big slowdown in sales in the first 6 weeks of the year, and it obviously had a huge fine, a couple of billion dollar fine from the EU, and also just a little bit of risk off, I think, for investors, profit taking. We've got Jerome Powell speaking this week, where, given what we've seen in markets, he's probably going to reiterate that he's not going to be in any rush to cut interest rates, and that is certainly going to put markets on the back foot as well. But like I say, this has been fundamentally driven, and driven again by that Magnificent Seven, and rightfully so as well. They grew earnings in Q4 by 55%. So yes, we're seeing the NASDAQ rally, but we're also seeing it match with growth as well. We spoke about it a couple of weeks ago when we talked about Nvidia. Their price to earnings is only sort of sat at around about 37 times forward, you know, earnings, which isn't actually that much when we think about how far that share price has rallied, because it is making money, and that's the whole point. And the AI craze is resulting in monetization for some of these companies, such as Nvidia, such as Microsoft. But the issue that we're going to have is that if it doesn't translate to those companies that are seeing their valuations rise on the expectation that they will see earnings growth from AI, I think that's where the risk lies with some of those names. But I think something to remember for investors as well is not to be scared of all-time highs as well, because you know, the S&P 500 has reached, you know, a new all-time high this year. It's reached 15 of them already this year, but it has historically been followed by an average 12-month performance of 15% gain. And in that year, it has been positive 90% of the time. So again, not to be worried about all-time highs, because all-time highs beget all-time highs. So I think this speaks to markets continuing on a trend unless they see significant change. And as we say, this market is now being driven by stronger fundamentals, which are better earnings, those coming interest rate cuts, and as I say, better margins from these businesses that have struggled with inflation over the last, you know, 12 to 18 months. Risk-wise, still lies with inflation, still lies with, as I say, maybe Jerome Powell taking that, you know, stance of we're not going to cut rates, and a bit of a pushback from the Fed. And if we see any sort of stumbling from the Magnificent Seven that have really driven this rally, that's where I think we may trip up. But for now, I think the fundamentals look strong, so why should we change?
Yeah, I agree. And it's interesting on that stat that you said, 15 new all-time highs this year. And it's on pace, I think, to beat the record, which was set back in 1971. I was talking about that with Ben Laidler on Monday, who I've just seen. I'm in the office today, just seen walk past me with a big smile. He, you know, doesn't start work at 8:15. He starts way earlier than that, but he's just got into the office. Hardest working man. But yeah, a busy week, just a lot on, isn't there? It's going to be, you know, one to watch. And I mean, it's like, are we ever going to get a quiet week? It feels like there's always something on the horizon.
Yeah, I mean, when you think about it, I think this week was probably one of the quieter weeks because we had earnings season start to sort of slow down. We've still got some big names there. But then even so, you've still got massive macro events. You've got the ECB this week. We had a huge week in China as well. And then at the end of the week, you've got non-farm payrolls as well, which is going to be really, really closely watched, especially given that we're talking about, you know, the Fed potentially pushing back. So is there anything that we should keep an eye on this week, Sam, when it comes to NFP?
Well, yeah, I think you've got to definitely keep an eye on it. And I remember when I first got into trading, day trading, it was October 2014 is when I started. Non-farm payrolls was the biggest data release of the month. It get people quite excited that like to trade data. I was awful at trading data, but you'd always keep an eye out for it. And it was one of those things, the first Friday of the month, it would happen, the data would come out, there'd be noise for 15 minutes or so, and then it'd be like, pub. It'd almost be like it was time to finish. And it feels as the years have gone by, certainly recently, it's one of those events that, yes, it's important, but we almost just forget about it straight away. I mean, let's not forget, while I'm on that point, that last month's figure was pretty high. I think the highest it had been in quite a long time, and markets are on all-time highs. So it's one of those ones where even if we were to get a set of numbers that were potentially bad for markets, I don't think the downside would be too prolonged. You think we're in a bull market. What do people want? They want the opportunity to buy a dip. If we were in a bear market and we move higher, great opportunity for sellers to come in again at a higher price. So I think it's one where we just finished your section talking about how the fundamentals are pretty good. I think if we're to get an NFP set of figures where it's not that great, I think, yes, we could move a little bit lower if tech comes under a bit of pressure, if risk comes under a bit of pressure, fine. But, you know, a 10% move, you know, doesn't even put us that much. I think it puts us near enough the highs from last summer, which from a technical point of view, what an opportunity that would be if we were to get a 10% move. I don't, by the way, necessarily think that's even going to happen. 5% back to the new, the previous all-time high that we had from January 2022. So I think if you gave people an opportunity to buy a dip, they would, you know, bite your hand off for that. I think bulls ultimately would like lower prices. However, you know, it is worth having a look at what the market is expecting, because there will be people, you know, listening to this that are potentially going to, you know, day trade it or look for opportunities in that. I'm just going to get up the calendar in front of me so I can go through it. And actually, it is worth saying, whenever I look at data, it is always worth thinking about what's actually going to move it. What's going to write a headline? What's the range? Because for the non-farm figure itself, we're looking at 188,000, give or take, higher or lower. But that previous figure before, so 353. So immediately we're looking at a bit of an ease. You could argue that's good news already for the market. But the range of the low to the high end of analyst expectations, you've got 130 on the downside, 225 on the upside. So that's a big range, almost 100K range anyway. So with that 188 expected, if we are to get in a figure of 140, you might think, oh, well, that's really positive for markets, but it's still within the range. And on the flip side, if we get to get a 220K new jobs created, yes, oh god, that's really bad, you know, way more jobs than we expected, blah blah blah, but again within that range. So I think it's one of those ones where you just got to patiently wait. You know, obviously if you don't trade it, you don't trade it anyway, but yeah, I guess another thing to keep an eye on is going to be the average hourly earnings, 0.2 expected. It was 0.6 last month, so we're actually going into this where the expectations, if it was to come in bang in line, would be probably quite good for markets and would maybe support the idea of there being rate cuts you know, or the increased amount of rate cuts this year. But we did obviously go into 2024 with 160 basis points, you know, potentially priced in by the market. That's obviously now down to about 80 or 75 when you look at it for the remainder of the year. We've got 2 weeks, I think it's 14 days, pretty much bang on to the next Fed meeting. So it's the next piece of the puzzle. Inflation, though, still the most important number in markets. So if we do see those average hourly earnings move lower or come in line with expected, I think that helps that story look a little bit better. The Fed have said many times that they are data dependent. However, we are in a bull market until we're not, of course. I think any dips would interest the bulls. It's been tough for the bears. I think yesterday's move in the S&P, the 1% move lower, was the first time that's happened in quite a long time. So there hasn't been much joy for them. I think even the bulls are sitting here saying, you know what, give us a reason to go lower and we'll meet you down there to buy. So yeah, an interesting one to wrap it up, Josh, I think. But ultimately, even if it was, you know, not a great set of numbers, I don't think the market's going to panic too much. How do you feel?
Yeah. And it was interesting. We spoke about sort of rate expectations there as well. And I just had a quick look. And the first time I've sort of had a look at this for a long time,
yeah,
sort of long view, looking to sort of the middle of 2025 to see where the market expects rates to be. Just off the top of your head, where would you think market price expects rates to be around that time? Given what are we now? 5.2 to 5.5.
So what the market? So I mean, the market. I reckon. 2.5.
See, I was thinking similar. So market pricing has the highest percentage is at 3.75 to 4%.
Ooh. Okay, reeled it in then.
Yeah, so I think that is maybe just a bit of a reality check on higher for longer, potentially, there.
Yeah, but even with that, Josh, right, markets are on all-time highs right now.
Exactly.
I mean, that says it all as well, doesn't it?
Yeah, so I think that's interesting. But yeah, I mean, looking at it, even then, so yeah, 3.75 to 4% by December, it has it at 4.2 to 4.5. So basically hardly any cuts as we go through 25, which is pretty interesting. But yeah, that's definitely something to sort of keep at the back of the mind, that we might get, you know, 3 or 4 cuts this year, but maybe they'll slam the brakes on when we get into 2025.
Yeah, I saw an interesting tweet end of January, to be fair to the person. I can't remember their exact name, but they were of the view that there wasn't going to be one cut this year. And I thought, fair play for being pretty brave and putting that out there, because the number obviously has gone lower since, you know, the back end of 2024 to where we are now. I don't think it's impossible that we don't get one. And markets do change, of course they do. So yeah, let's see. Things will look a little bit clearer, as they do always, by the end of the week. Josh and I will be back next week to discuss it all and more. Josh, as usual, thank you very much.
It's been a pleasure. See you next week, guys.
Take care.
You have been listening to Digest and Invest by eToro. For more information, use eToro.com. This podcast is for information and education purposes only and should not be taken as investment advice, a personal recommendation, or an offer of or solicitation to buy or sell any financial instruments. This material has been prepared without taking into account any particular recipient's investment objectives or financial situation, and has not been prepared in accordance with the legal and regulatory requirements to promote independent research. Past performance is not an indication of future results.